Hi, everybody. This is writer and comedian Emily Winter. This is Comedians with Ghost Stories. I am so sorry I didn't put out an episode last week. I got a random, like, week-long job doing development for a reality show, which is hard. But I needed it. You know, it's holidays. I got big credit cards that I got to pay off. Anyway, so it was all-encompassing. It's still going. Yeah. So I'm in reality TV brain mode, and it is dark in here. Anyway, thank you for being patient. I do want to say this is going to be the last episode before the holiday break. I always notice that around the holidays, listenership dips a little bit. I think people are happy and being warm and fuzzy with their families and not wanting to talk about, you know, death, ghosts, invisible stuff. I always want to talk about that, but it's understandable that you might want to take a couple week break. So don't unsubscribe because I am coming back sometime in the new year with brand new stories. And to that end, if you are a performer, writer, of any kind, and you would like your ghost story to be on this podcast, shoot me a message. I'm on Instagram at EmilyMCWinter. I also have an email that I use just for podcast purposes. It's a long one. Are you ready? It's called howtoproducelivecomedypod@gmail.com. I'm so sorry. I have another podcast that was a mini series in 2018, I believe, called How to Produce Live Comedy. And so it's howtoproducelivecomedypod@gmail.com. Also, if you're new at producing comedy, aside from all of the times I say that you should post stuff on Facebook, I think it's still pretty relevant. What else? Okay, if you are not a performer with a ghost story, but you have a ghost story, and you're a listener with a ghost story, and you want me to read it on the show, that is a new thing that I would love to do in the new year. Send me your ghost story, once again, to howtoproducelivecomedypod@gmail.com. You can write it out. I prefer full sentences. I prefer paragraphs. I prefer not reading just a giant block of text. And if you're not sure if you should be on the pod, I'll just tell you as an example, a good ghost story. Well, I love the one that's coming out today, and I'm super pumped about it, even though this woman who's on today didn't physically see a ghost, which I do, like, usually prefer. Her story was so touching and had backstory and so profound that I definitely wanted to include it, and I just love it. Stories that are not as good are, like, one time I was thinking about my grandpa Stan, who died like 3.5 years ago, and then I met a guy named Stan, and he had a shirt on with a bird, and one day when my grandpa was alive, he said, "Birds are cool." Like, that's just not quite enough, you know? It's not quite enough. I don't mean to demean your experience with Stan, but for this podcast, we just need a little bit more. So you can run it by me if you want. This is a paranormal podcast, and I'm happy to tell you what I think. But I want to get more stories from more people, but also do quality control because I love this podcast and we are slowly growing, and I just really want it to be great always. So send me your stories or hit me up if you want to be the guest on the podcast. This is taking a very long time. I am sorry. Do I have anything else I need to talk about? Just the one little thing that you guys are all sick of hearing. I have a book out. It's called One Day Smarter. Makes a good stocking stuffer, last minute gift. It's a trivia book. Let's say for ages 12 and up. It's good. It has a nice review from a listener of this podcast on Amazon. And I think her name's Kathleen. I can't exactly remember. Anyway, I think it's Kathleen. I love Kathleen. Thank you, Kathleen. I really appreciate any good reviews of the book and of the podcast. And now, finally, I hope you enjoy this episode, and I will see you in the new year. Stay safe and happy new year. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have Angela Aaliyah. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I am branching out from the comedians, but in the performer world, you are a singer-songwriter, right? Is that how you like to be?
Yeah. Yes. I am adding storyteller into that based on some projects I worked on last year that are yet to be released. But yes, singer, songwriter, storyteller, all of the above.
That's awesome. So I cannot wait to hear your story. So where does it take place and what happened to you?
What happened to me? Let me get a couch to lay down on. Yeah. First. Well, I wanted to preface this by saying I was so excited to be on your show. I wish I could tell everyone's ghost stories that I know because my family is full of them. Like, I feel like I've been surrounded by ghost stories, but I have been very adamantly anti-ghost my whole life because it was too scary.
Because everyone else in your family has like had experiences, and so you were just like the denier. Are you
full visual auditory experiences? The house I lived in as a teenager actively had a ghost in it, and I like made a true. I was like, "We're not though. Like, I don't want to see you." And I would hear like footsteps sometimes, or like things shuffling around when like other people weren't home, and I was like, "No, not now. Like, not for me."
So can I ask what happened to your family? Like, what were some of the things that they experienced in this haunted house that you decided you are not going to be haunted by?
Yeah. One of like a little tidbit, when it was like a holiday, and so a bunch of family were there. And one of my cousins, who was like 2 at the time, you know, kids, creepiest adults, creepiest humans, I should say. They're not adults, literally by definition, but they are so open to things. And so my one little cousin was like standing, looking up one of the staircases, which is in the older part of the house. The house is from 1807, I think. Ooh. And he was like just staring up the staircase, and his dad came over and was like, "Chris, like, what are you doing? What are you looking at?" And he went, "Who's that man?" And his dad was like, "There's literally no one up there." And he was like, "Chris, what are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, who's that man that went into the nursery?" But here's the thing. There was no nursery in the house at the time, but the room at the top of the stairs was a nursery back in the day.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a friendly ghost, right? Like, I actually moved into that house with, it's my, you know, family, not my parents, but when I was a teenager. So I moved in with them as a teenager. And I remember one of my family members being like, "Yeah, we hadn't seen him for years. And when you moved in, he like came back around," probably because he was like, "Who's this new person?" And I was like, "Oh, great. Cool."
So you like, so that's why I felt like, yeah, you stirred this up. So wait, your parents weren't in this house? This was other, sorry. This was,
yes. Okay. Yeah. So this was like my aunt, my uncle, and it's kind of the hub of our family is this house.
Oh my God. Where is it?
It's in New Jersey, in like, okay. South Jersey.
Love, yeah. It. So do you want to tell any more of the family stories before we get into your experience in this haunted house in New Jersey?
There are just so many. Okay. Another kid one. Because they're creepy to me, because I'm like, I have no interest in it, but I shouldn't say that. I just don't want to have that experience.
Right.
However, another cousin of mine, when she was little, would apparently regularly talk with this ghost. And my aunt overheard her one day chatting up a storm, and then it ended in, "No, I don't want to play anymore today. I played real hard today." So cute. Like
I worked really hard.
Yeah, like I worked really hard today at playing, and I'm tired, so you have to leave me alone now. Yeah.
Just so, is there any idea who this guy was?
I think they just believe that he's someone who probably lived in the house like close to the time when it was built. It's definitely not like a family member that anyone can tell. Mm-hmm. So he's a benevolent homeowner who loved this house.
And so why did you never want to experience the ghost? Just because you were afraid, or because you thought it was stupid, or?
Yeah, I think the idea to me of seeing a ghost that I don't know, like someone that I'm not related to or haven't known at any point in time, I think that's what freaks me out more than anything. Mm-hmm. And it's this, to be honest, it's the seeing part of it, because I don't like jump scares. Not a scary movie person. So okay. I think to like turn a corner and just see someone standing there that I wasn't expecting. Maybe it's also living in New York for 14 years. I don't want to see anyone that I'm not expecting ever.
I totally get that. You're like, I'm not even afraid of you. Just please give me space. All I want is space. So you're not into ghosts and you don't want to get jump scared by one. And so what happened to you that you're like, okay, this was a paranormal experience?
Yeah. So I will say, like, I don't want to see things, no ghosties in that regard, but I feel like I'm a relatively spiritual person. I've done like Reiki certifications. I have had like loved ones who passed away that I felt like in certain moments, I was just like, oh, I feel like they're like present, like just like little, nothing too crazy, but like, I feel somewhat connected on a spiritual level to, I don't even know what, just something a little bit beyond like the day to day.
Can we go down the Reiki path for a second?
Yeah.
Cause I haven't talked about it on this podcast. I've had it several times and, I just think it's like so fascinating. So I'm just curious from the perspective of the person who's performing Reiki. And for those who don't know, it's, the first time I got it, I just like, my parents were like Midwestern. They're like, what did you do? And I was like, Mom and Dad, I paid somebody to not touch me. Okay. And you know what? That's a good, but I don't know how else to describe it. It's like a non-massage, like where somebody puts hands over you and works out some of your shit and there was no touching. it's healing with the highest form of consent. I don't know. How do you describe it?
Kind of. I mean, I love that description for sure. This is why I'm like mentioning it, because I'm like, it is, you have to subscribe to the idea that energy is a little bit more than like we can comprehend on a day-to-day way. Because what I've also done is like long distance Reiki, which sounds even wilder. But I would describe Reiki as like a healing modality, this similarly to massage, that works with your energy, similar to like the meridians that are worked with for acupuncture. And the way that I like to see it is that I am channeling like a sort of pure form of energy that's very neutral but supportive. That's like your body, I think the core belief for me is that your body and your system knows what it needs to heal, but I'm a conduit for you to work it out. And you're also setting the intention of like making time for that.
Right. Okay. And how did you like figure out that you were able to be this conduit? You know what I mean?
So you actually get certified in Reiki. So you go mm-hmm. through like some courses. They do this thing called an attunement, where they essentially like widen or broaden your central energy channel, which is allowing you to be able to literally channel and offer it to others. I actually met someone once. It was like a new member to my family who was like, you know, one of those like through marriage things. Mm-hmm. And the first time I met her, I like gave her a hug and she was like, do you do Reiki? And I was like, yes. Like, how do you know? And she's like, you have hot hands. And I was like, what? I was even shocked.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cause I've never done it professionally, but it was something I was so like, similarly to you, like when I first learned what it was and experienced it, I was like, I must know more. Like I, yeah. So yeah, I think it's also, in my experience, it's just super relaxing. That's what I usually say to people. I'm like, you can come to me because your knee hurts, or you can come to me because you're sad from a breakup. But ultimately, at the very least, whether or not those things shift for you, you're going to get to relax super deeply for like an hour. Like, who doesn't need
that? The weirdest thing that you've like felt, like when you're sort of trying to get in tune with somebody's energy, do you feel like weird shit? Do you get like, does their body talk back? You know what I mean?
Kind of. I've noticed over the years that like the way that I do it, especially doing the like long distance sessions, has freed me up to, I just like incorporate. I found myself a few times recently, like breathing out in a really intentional way with people, like almost feeling like they needed something like blown off of them, which sounds crazy, but it was just my gut feeling. I don't know that I've had a crazy weird experience on the like, giving side as much as the receiving side, though, where I was getting a long distance session when I was doing this training. We would partner up and like do buddy sessions with people to learn. And I remember like halfway through the session, I started feeling seasick. Like I just actually, I felt like I was like, oh my God, like nauseous. Whoa. And I was just laying in my bed. And so the way we would do it is we would call the person, have a little chat with them, say, okay, put your phone down. I'm going to, you know, do the session. It was like 20 minutes. We were just doing little practice runs. And then I'll call you after we're done and then we can discuss. So she calls me, the person that I was partnered with, mm-hmm. and was like, how was the session for you? This is what I felt like, da, da, da. And I was like, yeah, I feel good now, but I felt nauseous halfway through. Like I was on a boat. And she was like, that's so weird. Cause I was actually like cradling, rocking you back and forth. Like I was like, pull, like going like this.
Whoa.
With my, cause the way you do it is you essentially proxy, like you pretend that the person's in front of you. And I was like, oh, okay, that's not weird at all. Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. I'm sorry I'm taking us down, like, you know, paths that we're not necessarily intended to go on, but I find it all very related to the ghost stuff. And I love just exploring invisible anything. So stuff, energy that we can't see. I think it's all part of the same thing. And so, yeah, I just think it's like really fascinating.
Yeah, and absolutely. And it does, I mean, it relates in the sense that the experience I wanted to share with you today, it's not, thank God I did not get a jump scare because someone was standing in my house. It was this very felt experience. So basically I'll start like a backstory to this is that I, one of my closest friends to this day is someone I met in high school and we were like super tight in high school and in college, obviously you like are separated by distance, but we would still talk all the time. And in college, she started dating someone. I'm going to use pseudonyms. I'll just straight up say it. I'm going to call her Kate and he's Greg.
Okay. Kate and Greg. That's literally could be
anything. That's who we're talking about. So my friend Kate was dating this guy and she was absolutely head over heels for him. And anyone that my friend is super into, obviously I want to know what's their deal. So, you know, we hung out a couple of times. I didn't get to know him super well, but he was super charming. He was so funny. He had kind of like a heart of gold. Like he really was on the inside a very good person, but he also dabbled in a lot of drugs, which who among us? But you know, it was a little serious. It was a little too habitual for his own good. And they dated for like 5 years. Like this was someone that was in her life for a long time. But you know, that was a problem. She wasn't on the same level as him in that way, by any means. And you know, she really, really loved him and she cared about him to the moon. Like his parents were very wealthy, but they were emotionally absolutely not present. And I think that's part of what kind of fostered this situation. He had all the means to do these things and, you know, no one other than Kate to really like show him that he was worth like having a healthy life in that way. Mm-hmm. She reached out to his parents. She had her parents reach out to his parents. Like she did everything, tried to get him in rehabs. When he was in rehab, bought him an air mattress, like even when they were on a break, like just, you know, did everything she could. But at the end of the day, after 5 years, she was like, I can't fix you. I can't save you. And you don't seem to want that either. But he, you know, and it wasn't like a mutual, it was like she had to say, we're done. You know?
Yeah. He wanted both things.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep on going, but then also not lose her. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And addiction is horrible. It really is. So I commend anyone who's like in any form of recovery. I think it's incredibly difficult. And so he just, you know, he wasn't able to get out of it at that time. And so she like moved on with her life as she needed to. She ended up finding this really awesome guy who she's now married to and has two kids with. He's wonderful. He's a total sweetheart. And they just really clicked and like had a lot in common where they, you know, had similar jobs, all of this great stuff. So Kate and I in the pandemic had kind of lost touch. It was like one of the first times in a while that I think we hadn't really been talking, not on purpose, but because it was a pandemic.
Also, I found myself like getting in touch with people and not having anything to say. So it's just, yeah, it's just tough. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, how are you? I'm this bad. Way. Like
the same, same as you, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing, I'm doing.
Exactly.
That's how a lot of the conversations went for sure. Yeah. And so over the summer, we finally got to catch up and then we started talking more and more. And in October, I got a text message from her and there was no like, hey, how's your week? Hi. Like what's, it was just, do you know any mediums? I was like, well, you've come to the right place. I actually did. But he's someone that was recommended to me and he books out like almost a year in advance. He's really talented. I've been to him. It was a very moving experience. And I believe fully that he like is what he says he is, you know.
Wow.
I always go into those things very skeptical. I'm like, I'm not telling you anything about me. And right. So then if they like tell me something meaningful, I'm like, okay. All right.
I don't want to know about that after this. Okay. Okay. You actually have a lot of stories. You're like, I just have one little thing to say. Nope. I want to go down every road with you. Okay. Yes.
Do a part two on just the media. He was very cool. Yeah. So I texted her and I was like, yeah, I have this recommendation, but it's kind of hard to get in with. But more importantly, why? Why are you asking? And she said, did I tell you that Greg died in April of this year? And I was like, you didn't. What happened? And she said he had an overdose. And, you know, so here we are like almost 7 years later or something, I think. And yeah, that is what happened. And I was like, you know, my heart sank just because I knew, again, didn't know him super well, but knew him enough to be like, this was a good person, mm-hmm. despite his problems. Like, mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, I just feel awful because I feel like I had to end things so abruptly that there was so much I didn't get to say to him, but I had to break it. I had to have a clean break because
it would have been two people's lives ruined instead of just one, you know, yeah. It's so sad, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so then she was like, you know, now I will never get the chance. And so I'm hoping to maybe contact a medium or someone that like I can speak to him. And this is when things started happening for me because she is a very open-minded person, but she's also literally a scientist. And so, you know, I think her searching for something and the only resource I had was, you know, this person that I'm like, you could see him next year.
Yeah.
I got this tingle like down my spine. It was very like something was happening. And she starts telling me like, I can't get him off my mind. Like, it's so weird that, I mean, it did happen back in April, but.
And just, when did you talk to her? Sorry.
This was in like October.
Okay. Yeah.
So it had been like 6-ish months. But all of a sudden she was just getting like, I cannot stop. I'm having dreams about him, like all this stuff. And for whatever reason, without a doubt, was like, Greg is here, like right now. Like I felt in the room something shifted. And from even the little that I knew about meeting him, it was like he was in, I have a studio apartment, it is not that big, like there he was in some form. And like all I could only describe it as like a feeling. Mm-hmm. And my mind, like all I could make of it was this urgent feeling of yes, tell her to do it. Like, please make sure she does this. Make sure she follows through on like finding what she needs with like a medium or someone that I can talk to her through. And I was like, I think I'm a rational person is the thing. So I also wanted to make sure I wasn't just, I don't know, having a moving experience of learning about what she's up to. I had to be skeptical, I guess. So I continue like texting with her and then having this feeling, and it's just like mounting and growing. And I'm just like, okay, like, bro, like I will, like you need to. And it was like this very, he had a sense of humor about him and like a little brother. Like that's the energy that I always got from him. And it was the exact energy that I was having in that moment, was like a little brother being like, Joel, tell her to do it. Like, do the thing. Like, and I was like, okay, like, great, calm down.
Why are you taking so long?
Yeah. And I was like, no, we're working on it. But like in my skeptical brain, I'm also like, are you having a mental breakdown, Angela? So I sidebar with this feeling, with this presence. And I'm like, I need you to give me something that's irrefutable to let me know that this is real. Like something, anything. And all of a sudden I start thinking about, I'm like on the water and I see like a boat speeding through a harbor. And I was like, is this a metaphor for being high? What are we doing here? Like, is this something about like adrenaline? But I'm like, maybe I need to be more literal about it. So I text Kate and I'm just like, you know, random question while we're having this conversation. Did Greg have anything to do with boats? Just curious, just wondering.
Yeah.
And she texts me back and she's like, yeah, that's how his family made all their money. They owned a marina and like sold boats.
Whoa.
Cool. So I think you should pursue this medium thing.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's not just like, yeah, Greg went on a boat once. It was like, no, this is like the main thing that like he grew up around.
Yeah, that he grew up around. That like, you know, his parents' money came from, which also kind of ties into his whole life story ultimately. And so essentially I had to make a truce with this presence and just be like, I am going to make sure she does this. We will be having these conversations. I understand there's an urgency here for some reason. So over the next few weeks she did, she actually went down a Reddit rabbit hole, finding intuitives and mediums and things like that, which was really cool to witness. And I would get these texts from her periodically that were just like, Angela, guess what? I found someone to talk to. So stoked on it. And then one day I will say a few times, like, it's almost like he would show up whenever she was texting me to be like, don't forget. Like you said, like this was gonna, and I'm like, yeah, like she's doing it. Like I get it.
Right.
So I get this message from her one day that's like, Angela, like, do you have time to talk? And I was like, yeah. So we get on the phone and she tells me about this intuitive that she saw who does like mediumship work and who basically like piece for piece told her about their relationship, like with no context, with no background. Whoa. Like you were madly in love with someone that, you know, had some kind of addiction or substance problem. The love was really genuine, but you knew that it was going to be the end of you if you stayed with this person. I have a feeling that they passed away recently. I that, like everything was very on the nose.
Holy cow.
And ended it with, he really wants you to know that he knows how much you did for him and he understands completely why you had to leave. And it was like the exact closure I think that she needed.
I'm gonna cry.
I know.
It's so sweet.
It's a love story in reverse.
It's a love story in reverse. It's amazing. Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
So have you been visited by him since then?
Not really. I feel like once he was able to get that message to her,
yeah,
he was like, I'm good. Like,
that's what he needed.
Yeah. And she said, she told me that she had an experience that she felt like he was around when she was at the park with her kids. And I thought that was really sweet. Like, she was just like, I kind of just felt like he was there. It's like a very specific Greg energy. Like, it is. He was that person. He was like a big, personality, but also a total sweetheart, you know, on the inside. And so I'm like, yeah, I know what you mean, girl. And I ended up telling her this part of the story. I didn't want to tell her immediately because I really wanted her to focus on her journey with this and not distract, like, by the way, he's hitting me up too about
this. By the way, your ex-boyfriend keeps coming over uninvited.
That sounds a little sketchy, right? Over Thanksgiving, I got to see her, and I ended up kind of telling her my side of, like, this whole experience, because I was just like, you know, and it's her first foray into, like, spirituality and thinking about life after death and, like, what could that mean and what could that look like. And I was like, look, I don't know, but I do feel like when people are still really attached to things from this world, whether it's a house or a person or a chair, they get attached, like the energy gets attached, and they will either have a mission to accomplish or they just want to chill at their old house. I'm not sure, but I felt like, and she actually said too, she's like, I felt his energy disappear after that session. Like there was the time at the park, and then it kind of, like, he hasn't really been around since. It hasn't been on my mind the same way. The dreams stopped, like, all of this stuff.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think he really urgently wanted to give her the closure she didn't have otherwise.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's also so interesting, like, the time between, he died in April and then this started going on in October. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's also, I don't think she really had given it time or space to process it. At first, I think it was the kind of thing that you hear and you're like, oh, I'll put that somewhere in a box for later. Like, I don't know how to deal with that right away, because they hadn't spoken in so long. Like,
that's the other thing. And then if you're married, you have that guilt of like, oh, am I thinking about an ex because I'm like a bad wife? Or I don't know. I mean, yeah. I would feel that way. You know, it's like, well, I mean, no, you still had that experience, you know, with that person. So it's not bad. My first reaction would be like, oh, am I allowed to care about this? You know,
100%. She actually didn't, I think she didn't tell her current husband until after she had, like, seen one of the intuitives. And then she discovered that he's a super spiritual person and she didn't even know it about him.
Really?
So they started having all these conversations. Yeah. She's like, I don't know how this never came up. And he was like, oh no, I totally believe in, like, life after death and, like, ghosts and stuff. And she was just like, like,
well, that's wonderful. She got two gifts then.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So as a person who sees a medium, what do you think that, what does it help you accomplish? What does it help you feel or get through to have? Because I've never seen a medium before. I've talked to a couple people that have seen them, but I don't know anything about it really. And, like, how it is fulfilling.
Such an interesting question. Yeah. Well, I think, like, for me, I went into it not really, like, anticipating hearing from anyone in specific. Like, I didn't go in being like, this person passed away recently and I really want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. In fact, the person that I saw, his name is Richard Scholler. He prefaced the session by saying, like, I can't guarantee you anyone. Like, it really, the reading begins, I get in touch with, like, my thing, and then I'm just going to tell you who I see, like, who has come to talk today. But I will say, like, my dad passed away when I was 14. And so there's always been I had never, like, had a direct thing like that. And so I was kind of like, well, if you don't show up, this will be a problem, buddy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We're not expecting anybody, but actually just a little bit.
Yeah. But, like, a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't have, like, anything specific that I wanted to say. So I think what I was looking for and what I got was a confirmation that there is something more than meets the eye about life and death. And also a little bit of a connection with people I didn't get to meet, because there were a couple people that showed up in my session that I never met in real life. They had died long before I was even around. So yeah, that was kind of the feeling that I left with, was just a, like, a sort of renewed sense of curiosity and maybe hope about what more there is to life. And like a little bit of an ability to feel connected to them myself without having to see someone. Because I'm like, if they're around, like one of the things that this medium had brought up to me, he was like, I told him again, nothing about myself. And he's at one point in the session, he goes, do you live somewhere above like 50th, but it's not above, it's like out. And I was like, Like I was just like being very vague. At the time I lived in Queens in Woodside.
Were you in the cat apartment?
In the ghost cat apartment. I should have said that too.
if you are listening to this and you listened to the Carrie Cullen episode, that was her roommate. Did you take her room or were you guys roommates?
We were roommates.
So this was the place where Carrie had a ghost cat.
Yeah. So that episode's amazing.
Yeah, she's a wonderful storyteller as well. So the medium was like, you live above 50 but out, so that nailed it.
So he's like, but it's like, so he's like, I think it's like Queens, and he's like, you know, there's a huge cemetery there. It's coming to mind for me. I see you like near that cemetery. And I didn't live near that cemetery, but I had just recently been taking a car down to Brooklyn. And I instantly was like, where are you going with this? Because what I knew is that I had this very weird experience of passing that cemetery, which I passed many times.
My dog knocked over a suitcase. It scared the shit out of me. Okay, sorry. You had
heavy. It's not the right timing to scare your mother.
God. Why did you see how scared I was?
I know. Bingo. You're like, something just flew across the room.
Oh god. Okay. Ooh, I'm leaving that one in because that is so scary.
The jump scare this episode needed.
So you were passing the cemetery.
I've been passing the cemetery. Yeah. And I had again this very like peaceful feeling. It's like a tingly, peaceful feeling. And I think I was just reflecting on death, but like it was a little more profound. You know, when you just have like a randomly profound moment.
Yeah,
it was that. It was one of those. So he's telling me about me passing the cemetery, and I'm like, yeah. And he was like, well, your grandmother wants you to know she was with you. And I was like, come on now. I think it gave me a little bit of a like renewed sense of connection with family and with people who've passed on, even if I don't always know how to like access it myself.
Yeah,
just the feeling of like. I've said this to people to comfort them when their pets pass away, but I also really believe it, that I feel sometimes that people and loved ones and pets and things of that nature can be closer to us in death than in life because of that.
Because they can get inside of you and like help you feel something, or because.
Yes.
Yeah,
I guess it's that, or that they can be around you or they're not as attached to their like human sense of self or their identity though or whatever, and that like, yeah, you can kind of communicate with them on your own, I feel.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, this podcast has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for doing it. Angela, is there anything else that you want to talk about before I ask you to plug everything about you and your life?
No, and I do want to say this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and for this wonderful concept of a show. I love it. And I'm super honored to have been here. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Well, tell us where we can find your music. I'm going to play one of your songs as we get out of here, but tell us where we can find your music and your storytelling and your everything about you.
My everything about me. You know, I'm going to keep it super simple, actually, because the main place that I post anything, if and when I do, is on Instagram. So my handle is @AngelaSounds. And yeah, that's where I always put anything exciting that's happening or cool things to look at or listen to. And, I also have a website. It's AngelaAliahMusic.com. But yeah, come hang on Instagram.
Cool.
Or TikTok if you want to see my very bad TikToks. It's the same handle.
I love it. This is If I Fall by Angela Aaliyah.
I've spent years invisible, trying to hide behind a wall. I thought no into my eyes and see me the way you do. I know it's not what you want, but I can't help but feel it. So afraid to mess things up that I swallow my feelings. But if I fall, if I fall, if I fall, will you realize it's for you? It's like you opened up a key the day you said you. So afraid.